This episode of Coop's Corner is brought to you by ICOM Solutions Group. Hey! Hey! Hey, you! Hey, you!
Are you having trouble creating a website for your online presence? Well, why don't you get a web presence? Because you'd be a lot cooler if you did, eh? And you want to know how?
ICOM Solutions Group is your solution.
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of Coop's Corner Podcast. My name is Coop the Comedian. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this special episode. We have a very special guest that he's very well known in the wrestling community, and he's actually from one of my favorite new wrestling television shows to watch on TV today, Lucha Underground. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Vinny Massaro. Welcome. No, I haven't put it on my birth certificate yet. I thought about it, but then I thought, man, I'd be made fun of too much. I'd be like, is that really a joke or not? But
well, you are a comedian, so then you would know, right?
Yeah, it sounds nice. A lot of people, I just go by Coop most of the time, and I like doing comedy for the past couple of years now. So it's just, I don't really like to use my last name too much. It just fits to me. So, anyways. Welcome, Vinny. Thank you so much for coming on this episode of Coop's Corner Podcast.
I'm honored to be to be among the guests as I don't think you've had many guests, have you?
No, I've had a few. Maybe about not too many. Mostly from Periscope these days. But you, I've met like last year, I believe, from Twitter when I started watching Lucha Underground. And that's basically where I've seen most of you, your tweets and everything. And you do a fantastic job on social media. So can you give a little introduction about yourself to my audience, please?
Well, sure. I mean, for those of you who don't, watch professional wrestling, I'm a professional wrestler over here in the Bay Area. 209, actually, near Stockton, California, for any of you Nicky S fans. I'm over here in the Stockton area. I've been wrestling for almost about 13 years, but I started here in the Bay Area, in a promotion called All Pro Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then, started, going down to Lucha Underground a few years ago down, LA Boyle Heights area. And, I got welcomed into the temple and, ever since then, it's been a great ride.
Well, I'm really excited to get into your matches. So you also compete in leagues like Pro Wrestling Revolution, Big Time Wrestling. You've competed in NWA and Wrestling for Charity, right?
Yeah, Wrestling for Charity is a promotion that we do over here in near Patterson, California. It's it's the way it sounds. It's a wrestling promotion that basically gives a lot of its proceeds to charity. So it's always good to give back a little bit, just a little bit for your karma to make it a little bit better in your life. But me and my wife and my whole family, we're always big on charities. We always try to do walk for breast cancer and we're big with the animals. So anytime we can do anything at a shelter for shelter dogs or anything like that, we always try to do stuff like that. But Wrestling for Charity is a great promotion. If anyone's ever near the Patterson area, by all means, check them out.
Absolutely. I was checking them out earlier today. So, you're with Lucha Underground and, you've been wrestling with, Wrestling for Charity. Is there any other organizations that you're on the current roster that we should know about if people want to check you out as well?
Besides that, I wrestle here. I wrestle for this promotion called Fist Combat. Last weekend in Santa Cruz, California.
Okay.
And it's I think they have a YouTube channel. It's very fun. It's you would love it, Coop. It was basically it was an outside of a bar.
Okay.
It was about 50 of the loudest, craziest fans I've ever wrestled in front of. And it's, you know, basically it's the bar is, you have to walk through the bar to get to the ring. So, you know, I mean, I had a good time. I love wrestling those little small shows because that's how I got good. Because I started at a place called All Pro Wrestling, and they're famous for having this thing called Gym Wars, where that's where I started wrestling and training. And I mean, this place was basically like a garage, like a warehouse that had a ring in the middle. And then they had the most they ever had was like 75 people, and we kept having shows there about every 3 months. I mean, I'm sorry, every three weeks we would have a show there.
Okay.
But the thing is that this promotion, this APW Gym Wars, had people in there like Samoa Joe wrestled there.
Oh, wow.
Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson wrestled there. Christopher Daniels, Mike Modest, Bison Smith. So, I mean, it was like, you think it's like this AJ Styles was there. I mean, you would think like it's a small little tiny place. But that's how I got good, is wrestling in front of a small crowd. And, it's kind of like, almost like, I'm sure you know this, like comedy, it's not, you got to get you got to get those repetitions, but unfortunately there's no way to get repetitions in, pro wrestling and comedy. It's one thing to just, practice and, you could do stand-up comedy in front of the mirror, but you still need to, work, feed off the crowd, so you need repetitions. And you got to go out there in front of 10 people and then, keep doing it. That way, when you're going, in front of however many people, you feel comfortable because it's, repetition.
Right. And some of the crowds that you've been performing, I've noticed that you represent Italy a lot. And most of the crowds I've seen in some of your videos, they're mostly like, Viva Mexico. And
it's funny that, a lot of people, I come out, basically here's the thing. It's like, I was told by my trainer, Mike Modest, it's like, whatever gimmick you decide to do, whatever your thing is going to be, is, you want to make it what you really are times 100. So I was like, okay, well, I'm an Italian guy that's kind of loud and kind of funny. Well, let me be a really loud Italian guy that's really funny and harsh. I'm sure you like this. People have told me that I'm the Don Rickles of professional wrestling, because I literally just go out there and, mess on people. I just, cut up, I don't prepare nothing. I just go out there and just start. I see someone and I just go at it. I like to think that one of my favorite comedians of all time is Artie Lang. I feel like I've gone to the. To Artie Lang instead of Don Rickles, but Don Rickles is awesome too. And it's so weird because, the fans, they see me, and I come out, Vinny Massaro, how you doing? And then they go, oh, he's not really Italian. I go, I see. The thing is, which is crazy, because I was born in Sicily. I came here when I was 10 years old, and I'm 100% Italian. The problem is that, all the wrestling fans have seen. Italians and, in WWE, come out like, hey, the greasy Italians. Well, I hate to break the news. There's not actually people like that in Italy that talk like that. We're not Super Mario Brothers. We're actually human beings with, that talk normal. So, but it is funny how, sometimes I get, he's not even really Italian. And then what I go, okay, do you want me to, especially because they just had another Italian, Enzo Amore, came out.
Yeah.
And he, same thing, same shtick, just coming out and
how you doing?
Loud and, Italian, but he's not even really Italian. I'm just thinking, oh, man, I can't wait to hear somebody, call me and go, oh, you're not really Italian like Enzo. I'm like, oh, I'm going to lose it, but.
When your profession is wrestling, what are your hobbies when you're not wrestling?
Well, hobbies. Wow, that's when you're a wrestler and a family man like myself, you don't have too much time for hobbies.
Yeah.
So, pretty much any kind of hobby that I have is something that equals relaxation, because, you know, get up, go to work, come home, go, you know, go work out, and then on the weekends I'm wrestling. So, you know, I don't have like a hobby like, you know, per se, like a bowling league or softball league. I have no time for that. Nope. So basically, I would have to say my hobby would be pretty much playing video games, because after, you know, I go to work and work out and, you know, and come home, I like to relax by, you know, playing lots and lots of video games. So I guess that's my hobby, is video games.
What system do you have?
See, that's the thing. Some people say it's a hobby, but others have told me that it's not a hobby, because I have everything.
Really?
I literally have every single, I have every system, and I pretty much get all the games when they come out. Most of them. I don't get like all the, you know, Pokemon games or anything crazy, I don't get like every single, you know, sports game, but I play a lot of video games, and you know, I used to work when I was younger and didn't have a kid. I actually used to work for Electronic Arts and Sega.
Really?
Yeah, and Sega as a game tester.
Oh wow.
So, I guess I've always enjoyed video games, but you know, when you get a family, and you know, there's this thing called insurance that you need, and yeah, you know, those companies are great companies, but you know, game testers are usually part timers, or you know, like temp agency kind of, you know, so they never really gave me a, you know, good insurance, so I had to actually get a real job.
Okay. Oh, that's fantastic, because I had a cousin that actually worked for EA in my local area, so it's great that you brought that up. Now, do you ever play online or anything like that? And do you challenge people online, or do people, is there a gamer tag that people can check you out and go against you? Or?
Sure, yeah. I mean, is it PS4? It's SOS _ Massaro, MASSARO. And then on the Xbox One, I believe it's SOS space Massaro. So I forget, there's the PS4 or the Xbox One, one of those, you can't have a space. Well, whichever one you don't have a space, you can do _. But I'm always on there. I like playing, Street Fighter. I'm a Tekken man. So if you know, Mortal Kombat, so.
Oh, nice.
Anyone could always challenge me, if, by all means, go ahead and, you know, ask, you know. You know, I don't know, I forgot how what it is on the PlayStation Network, but, you know, add to be a friend or whatever it is, but I'll gladly play. I will warn you, though, my son also has, you know, he plays, so if you're getting your ass kicked, it's usually it means because he's playing, because he's way better at it than me.
That's good to know. I have only the old school games like N64 and Super Nintendo, and
I wouldn't like it any other way, Coop. You're a man of nature. That's why you like old school stuff. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I like my Frank Sinatra when I've got no music to listen to. I love my Frank. So
on an old turntable, I bet, right?
Yeah, actually, on a record player. We got it in the living room. So.
Look at you.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite artists growing up. So I've just always loved that jazz. All right, now I want to talk more about your Lucha Underground career. So how did you get started with Lucha Underground, and who'd you have to get involved getting into Lucha Underground?
Well, actually, with the Lucha Underground, I actually had a tryout with Conan. From AAA, and he was in the first season of Lucha Underground. Conan had a tryout at Pro Wrestling Revolution, one of the promotions down here in San Jose.
Okay.
And I joined that tryout, and you know, Conan saw me, and you know, liked what he saw, and he told me, hey, you know, when Lucha Underground starts up, you know, come down, and you know, I pretty much just you know, I was waiting for my time. And then, you know, my wife, she saw online that they were starting to tape. You know, and she asked me. She's like, "Are you gonna go down there?" I was like, "Oh, I didn't get the invitation yet." And she's like, "You know what? You should just drive down there." So, I just drove down there. You know, I live, like I said, near Stockton area, which is like an hour away from Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And I drove down to L.A. Which is 6 hours away, not hoping for the best, basically. Just drove down there and, you know, trying to talked to some people, and then that's where I met, you know, once I was down there, I made my way into Lucha Underground Temple, and I met all the people, but I, you know, especially I met Krista Joseph, you know, who's, you know, one of the writers, and, you know, he's got many titles, but, you know, he's pretty, you know, he's one of the guys in there that, you know, does, you know, he does a lot of work at Lucha Underground. So I met him, and he gave me his business card, which is probably a big mistake because I bothered him and emailed him and did all kinds of stuff. And then, you know, he gave me an invite. You know, afterwards, he gave me, about 2 months later, he gave me an invite to come and wrestle for the temple. So that's pretty much how I got in.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was a risky move to just, you know, go down there. But then again, it wasn't a risky move, you know. I mean, I it was weird because me, you know, me and my wife, we were reading up about El Rey Network, and because my wife is actually, you know, Hispanic, she's from Mexico, from Guadalajara, and, you know, she was reading up online about, you know, El Rey Network and all Lucha Underground, you know, before it started taping, and she's, you know, me and her both knew that it was going to be huge, you know, it was going to be, you know, something to be proud of, you know, a good promotion where it's not, you know, it shows, you know, the Hispanic heritage and the Lucha Libre heritage and something that I want to be a part of because, you know, my son obviously is half Italian and half, half Mexican. So I really want to be a part of it. And, you know, and I just drove down there and hope for the best, and it all turned out, and it all panned out. And couldn't done without Conan and Krista Joseph. I owe a lot to those guys for sure.
That's fantastic to hear, because then you went on to have three matches in the first season. Your debut match, I think, was from what I've read, was against Pentagon Jr.
And sure, but that's the reason why I would have had more matches, because unfortunately, my very first match was against Pentagon Jr., and that's when he was, you know, showing off for his, you know, master, whoever that was. He broke my arm, but unfortunately, yeah. I wrestled there, and then I was gone for almost 2 months because I wasn't cleared to go back.
Right.
So, you know, I wanted to have more matches there, but obviously, you know, it's TV.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get cleared when you have a broken arm, which. You know, when you're a professional wrestler, you have a high tolerance for pain, but at the same time, I felt like I could have gone through it, but, you know, they have protocols and stuff like that, so, you know, I waited my turn.
Absolutely, and just even to make it more of an impact, you were put through a table, too, so.
that's a very good point. Matanza wrestled against Pentagon Jr. and laid him out. Put him through not just the regular table, but the announcer table.
Yeah.
And everybody on Twitter, everyone on social media is like, oh, I feel so bad. I feel so bad for Pentagon. I was happy. I go, that's what he gets. You know, when he broke my arm, he broke Famous B's arm, he broke Arjenis' arm, Ricky Mandel's arm, nobody said anything. Everyone's like, yeah, you know, everyone's happy, and I'm like, why is everyone so happy and think he's the greatest guy? He broke my arm. You know, I was out for 2 months. But, you know, now everyone's crying. Oh, poor Pentagon. It's like, I'm ecstatic. I love Matanza. Matanza for president. I don't even know if he's where he was born, but wherever he's from.
The temple is an amazing place because the fan base, they just go by, you know, what they feel like the match is going. It's just an incredible fan base. When you're wrestling, your first match, what was the fan base like?
It was unbelievable. Like I've never wrestled at the I'm sorry, I have wrestled at the ECW arena, but I've never wrestled at the ECW arena for ECW. And I've heard stories that it's just crazy. It's, you know, the crowd is right on top of you. You can actually feel the, you know, their heat coming off. And that's what, and, you know, that's how it felt. It felt like, it, honest to God, it felt like I was in, like, a pit, you know, like a, you know, one of those underground pits, you know, where everyone's looking up, you know, and you're just fighting and, you know, you hear everything. You literally, I mean, I could hear in the middle of the match the guy on the back row saying, you know, talking to his buddy. I mean, that's how it is. It's just, it's good, and then it's also bad. But man, those crowd, those fans are just so rabid, and you know, they're just, it's how do I describe it? It's honestly the greatest place I've ever wrestled. It's just an amazing, you know, spot, and as a pro wrestler, it's rewarding because it's, you know, it's like almost like if you can make it there, you know, if you're accepted by those fans, then you feel, I feel like you can make it just pretty much any place in the world, any arena in the world, you can make it there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's I just can't wait because I'm in Canada. Hopefully someday I'll be able to fly out there and come to the temple.
Oh, come on, Coop, you can stay at the temple. You just hang out back there somewhere. You're a man of nature. You don't mind sleeping
I'll be a reporter, the guy that's being outside and trying to, you know, get my stuff for my podcast. your second match was what you were just talking about with you know, Pentagon Jr. Breaking your arm, and then your next match was a four-way match where it didn't last too long, where Tejano came in right away, and you didn't really get a chance to, you know.
No, I mean, I was going to unleash fury, but, you know, it's, you know, Tejano ran in, and I barely remember what happened, so all I remember was just, I turned around, and he elbowed me in the face, but, you know. It's, you know, it's too bad, but I like Tejano. He's a good, you know, he's really good. He's, you know, he's a really good wrestler. He's actually my favorite wrestler in Lucha Underground and Lucha Libre right now. But he's, you know, AAA mega champion. So, but, you know, that part, you know, I wish he didn't do that. But, you know, it is what it is. I guess he was upset at Daivari. I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just not in the mood for that match.
Which is fair, because, I mean, everyone's upset at Daivari. I mean, you know, he's got those golden pants, and he's always talking about how he has money. I mean, how can you not hate the guy like that, right?
Yeah, but you did get a chance to make more of an impact in your latest match on Lucha Underground in Season 1, which was the 10-man Aztec Medallion Battle Royal. Were you actually...
I was close, man.
Yeah, you actually...
And then again, you know, I got eliminated by Daivari out of all the people.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's so weird because I was so close to, you know, I was so close to making it. Because if I would have won that match, I would have made it to Ultima Lucha, which is, to me, that's my goal, is to make it to Ultima Lucha, you know, at least one time to just, you know, any match. I don't care what a match. I don't care if it's... You know, the opening match of Ultima Lucha, but if you see Ultima Lucha live, it's an unbelievable experience that everybody must, you know, you gotta go.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
it's unbelievable. And some of the people that that have been part of the matches that you've been involved with is Famous B. He does a fantastic job on social media. I'm just wondering, he's got this 423 Get Fame going around. I'm just wondering if you ever want to give him a call, or if that's ever going to happen.
I've called him like 9 times. He just doesn't return my phone call. And then he at the last episode I saw, he chose he was going to go talk to Mascarita about it. I'm like, wait a minute. I go, I've called you many times. Mascarita doesn't even know what he's talking about. I don't even think he can, I don't even think he's called him yet. But, you know, it's fine. I'll wait my turn. I keep leaving him messages, but Famous B doesn't call me back. I don't know what's going on.
Well, he's fantastic so far from what I've seen from his videos and everything. If you can mention anything to the believers... in the temple that you know, if they can show your support for him, or if you had anything to say to them on this podcast, what would you tell them?
Oh, man. Just, you know, just support everybody. Support everybody at the temple. Not just, you know, not just me or anybody in particular. So support everybody in the temple, because you guys have no idea how hard everybody truly works. And I'm just talking about the wrestlers. I'm talking about, you know, the people in the back, just as, you know, even the security guards, I mean, just, you know, the writers, especially the writers, you know, but just everybody just works so hard, you know, just to put on a show for the fans. You know what I mean? They don't even, you know, it's almost like they don't even care about, what the media or, the quote-unquote, dirt sheet writers. They just do it for the fans. If the fans love it, then that's what everyone wants to do about it. And the wrestlers go out there and bust their butt, every match. It doesn't matter what match they are. They're giving it 110% every match.
Well, that's fantastic. And just a few more questions before we end the podcast, because we're wrapping up to almost about half an hour here. So we're almost right on time from what we expected. We had a little bit of delays, but...
your power went out. it's understandable. You're Canadian,
Bad hosting.
Yeah,
I blame.
It happens,
All I can say is sorry, right?
Sorry.
As
you guys say, right?
Now, with Lucha Underground and all your all your other companies that you're involved with, are you scheduled to have any upcoming matches that people can follow you just to watch some of your matches? If you have anything that you want to mention for upcoming events or anything?
Honestly, it's in the world of professional wrestling, it's everything's kind of month to month. So just go ahead and the best thing to do is just check my Twitter, which is at Snoring Elbow.
Okay.
And just check that out. Like I'm wrestling Saturday in Turlock.
Okay.
I got a couple shows next month, but basically that's the easiest way to do it. Because honestly, there's dates that I'm probably forgetting, but There's dates that haven't even been announced yet. I'm sure something else will happen. But it's really hard to progressing is always changing. You never know what's gonna happen. So just always check back. Like off the top of my head, there's a show on Saturday in Turlock. I'm doing a seminar too, and then April 30th back in Santa Cruz fist combat, so that's gonna be fun, and but always Lucha Underground on Wednesday, and if you can always just go on my Twitter and like my funny jokes.
I love your gifts that you do. And by the way, on your Twitter account, I checked out the link there, and the website is interesting. It's Biohazard Babies.
That's right.
So can you talk a little bit about this? Because
sure. Actually, Biohazard Babies is it's actually my wife's website.
Okay.
But what she does is she gets we all go basically and find go to the local thrift store, and we find those unwanted dolls that you see in the corner for like 50 cents or a dollar that have half the hair pulled out and crayon all over that some little girl had went crazy over. My wife takes those dolls, she cleans them, puts new clothes on, and then makes them into zombie horror dolls. Sometimes she implants a brain on there, or puts blood everywhere, or puts fangs for vampires. But you can go and buy one of those dolls. She's gotten her dolls were bought by American Horror Story.
Okay.
The one from the circus one, the carnival one.
Okay.
Freak Show. That's what it was. The Freak Show. They bought it and they used her dolls as a prop. Supernatural. I don't know if you watched that show on.
I've never heard of it.
I've heard it. I've seen it a couple times. It's Supernatural. They've used it.
Okay.
So she's been a lot of it's. She's had her dolls go to, the UK and, it's all over the world. So, you can go and, get a Biohazard Baby and, you can go on the website and check out all the different ones she has. And she makes all kinds of them, like she's working on one right now as we speak that she's going to post up there. But, she does it through Etsy, and then Etsy gave her a brand new website, which is awesome. And, if you guys ever into horror, by all means, go check that out.
Is there anybody else that you want to thank for joining Lucha Underground, or anybody else that you want to thank for your professional career?
Obviously for Lucha Underground wise, Conan and Chris DeJoseph are the two main people, but also Eric Van Wagenen, since everyone messes up his name, I probably even said it wrong. I don't even Van Wagenen and. when back in that, and I'm saying it wrong, I'm sure, but, you know, if Arnold Schwarzenegger said it wrong, it's okay that I can say it wrong too, right? But, he, you know, he's been great. Chris Roach, the other writer, has been great. Vampiro has helped out a lot. You know, and then just all the other wrestlers, you know, all the wrestlers have just, you know, just when I'm there and, you know, we all get in the ring and train have helped me out, you know, Phoenix, Aerostar, Drago, Marty the Moth, even though everyone thinks he's creepy, he's a great guy. He's always he's always helped me out. And then, you know, Matt Cross, Brian Cage, Son of Havoc, Brian Cage has been great. But there's been a lot, you know, everyone's pretty, it's so weird because it's a big family over there, you know.
You guys,
everyone helps out everyone. You know, my trainer, you know, just my trainer is Michael, you know, Mike Modis, he's a great guy, but pretty much, you know, it's just, you know, a lot of people have helped out in their own ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans, I mean, the fans have made, you know, have made this blow up so much that, you know, obviously El Rey, you know, the first season, you know, it happened, everyone's wondering about if there was going to be a season two. Well, you know, I think all the fans, you know, forced, you know, everybody to have a season, you know, season two, you know, because, and now who knows? I mean, I don't foresee it ever stopping. You know, because there's so much love from the fans, and you know, I thank all the fans for, you know, supporting. You know, I mean, I haven't been on TV, you know, in quite some time, but there's still, you know, people. I still get mentioned. I go to GameStop to get a video game, and I got the guy asking me how's my arm, and I was like, oh, this is like 9 months ago, but yeah, it's doing just fine. You know, it's the fans is what's keeping us alive, and I appreciate all the fans, even the ones that will never be able to come to, you know, LA because it's so far away. But, you know, just, you know, people going on iTunes and buying, you know, the show, and mm-hmm. people asking Netflix for the show. It's an amazing response.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for, we got to wrap up this episode of Coop's Corner Podcast. And I would love to have you back on again. If you'd like to come on.
Maybe in the summer when there's no thunderstorm, so the power doesn't go out. That would be nice.
I will do my best to make sure we'll have a proper signal, because
middle of July when there's just, I don't even know what this is. It always rain in Canada. I don't know.
It's mostly just in my area. It's a very local town, so it's just, it could be sunny for about an hour and then all of a sudden rain kicks in. So I just need, maybe I need to move.
that sounds like a really nice town. I mean,
it's a fantastic town, and I did promise you that sometime if you visit Canada, the beer's on me. So
I would love it. I mean, I've never been to Canada. I would love to go to Canada. You know, I have a couple friends that live up in your area. I think there's one guy's name is Paul Lazenby. He's a stunt guy and a MMA guy and pro wrestler, and I wouldn't mind going over there and training with him, doing some jiu-jitsu. So yeah, we'll go and have to drink some beer and have pancakes. What else? I don't know. I don't watch hockey, so
You know what, I don't watch much hockey either, because there's just too many games for me. I when they went on that strike for that year and they only had half a season, that was the best kind of hockey I've ever seen. Yeah. Other than that, I don't even know who's in the playoffs, except for there's not even no Canadian teams in the playoffs. So
really?
Yeah, no Canadian teams this year. So
that's a letdown.
Yeah. So all I got right now is to cheer for the Blackhawks. I'm not sure if you're a Chicago Blackhawks fan or, they're my father's favorite team. So that's why.
Oh, that's cool. My grandfather's favorite soccer team is my soccer team, so I know what you come from. You know, it's a little bit of nostalgia. You know, he's my grandfather is no longer here, so I root for the Juventus for him, so I'm sure he likes it.
Awesome, thank you. And once again, you can go follow Vinny Massaro at Snoring Elbow on Twitter. And is there any other places on social media that they can follow you as well? Just mostly Twitter.
No Facebook. I would be the most hated man on Facebook, because every time I my wife's on Facebook and I see some of the posts, I'm just like, oh my god, can I please go on there and just tell them how much of an idiot they are? She's like, no, do not do that. But She runs her biohazard babies through there, but yeah, it's rough. I would yell at everyone and tell everybody to man up, but no, I don't have anything. Sorry. No Instagram. I had Instagram one time, but I got Twitter and I liked it, and then I tried it to get everything else, and I hated it, so I deleted it.
It's all right.
On there somewhere, but I just don't use it.
We'll make sure everybody just go follow him at Twitter at Snoring Elbow. Fantastic. And once again, Vinny, thank you so much for being my special guest on this episode of Coop's Corner. And please make sure you come back again very soon.
I will.
All right.
Thank you, man.
Wow. That was one of my favorite interviews I've done so far. Although all the interviews I do, I absolutely love. But this one meant a lot to me. And let me tell you right now, we had a little bit of a hassle with getting this interview done because, first of all, we scheduled to have him booked on, so we promoted him for a couple weeks, and then we had something going on with our internet. And then this week, he was having troubles on his end, so we didn't know if we were going to get the interview done, and then finally we called together, we did a little planning before the show happened, and all of a sudden, the rainstorm on my end started interfering with the signal, and we had a power outage. So we struggled for about 5 minutes to contact each other, and then finally I got a hold of him after the power went back on, and they were like, I was just like, oh, power outage. And then we talked on Skype, and I was like, okay, so we won't do it on Periscope, but we'll just do it on Skype here, just to see if we can get the signal okay. And then we beat Mother Nature, and it was one of my favorite interviews I've ever done on Coop's Corner Podcast. And thank you so much to Vinny Massaro for coming on this episode of Coop's Corner Podcast, because we've made an agreement with him that maybe we should start bringing him on once a month. Talk some lucha, talk some wrestling, whatever's on his mind. I would love to bring him on as a monthly guest. If you guys like that, make sure you tweet hashtag Coop's Corner from today's episode. Make sure you follow us on iTunes. Go to coopscorner.info, our website sponsored by ICOM Solutions Group, where ICOM Solutions Group is your solution. Go check them out if you need a website presence for anything online. They are the people to get a hold of. They are fantastic to work with. I want to thank all of you, and I once again thank Vinny and all the Lucha Underground listeners who are supporting Lucha Underground and the fantastic organization. And I would love to have some more luchadors from Lucha Underground come on as a special guest. I would love to have whoever's a fan of Lucha Underground. We were talking about somehow we can put a Lucha Underground show together. You know, after the show the newest episode is shown, all the fans want somewhere to talk about it, because they're so amped up that, you know, they want to let loose for about half an hour. So my thinking is maybe that these guys on Podomatic, the Last Real Heels podcast, fantastic podcast, go subscribe to them. I am. And they're the ones that mostly talk about Lucha Underground Review. But I'm really trying to get them to use the Periscope app so they can actually do like a live call-in show on Skype with their Periscope channel, and that way people can just talk about Lucha Underground somewhere, people have somewhere to go, or in the morning do a Periscope show. But either way, I think it would be a great idea. But thank you so much to Lucha Underground for rekindling the flame for my passion of professional wrestling. They've gone this in a whole different style, so I'm so happy that Lucha Underground was created. So thank you so much once again to all of you for listening to this episode of Coop's Corner Podcast. And tune in, because we've got a bunch of new guests that are going to be coming on. Confirmed guest is actually Parasock from Periscope. Winner for Best Puppet is coming on the Coop's Corner Podcast. Stay tuned for the next episode. Until then, have a great day, eh?